Turn with me to Romans. If you were still in John, just turn to Acts and then to Romans as you head toward the back of your Bible. Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 are the text for this morning's preaching. Romans 2, verses 5 through 11, hear the word of our God. But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first, and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first, and also the Greek. For God shows no impartiality. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. A number of years ago at the family camp in the Midwest Presbytery, Reverend Andrew Quigley from Airdrie, Scotland was there as the speaker for the week. And in the Midwest Presbytery, the youth of the Presbytery, the CY, Covenanter Youth, ages 14 to 24, they organize the camp, they decide who speaks, and they give that speaker the topic to speak on. And when they found out that Reverend Quigley would be coming from Scotland for the summer in a pulpit exchange with Pastor David Rees, they were excited to have him come and to open God's word to God's people in the Midwest Presbytery. And they gave him this topic, sin. Sin. It was a heavy week for the campers. There were more times when the people walked away from the arena where the teaching happens in silence and in heaviness. And as the week wore on, the campers could see on Reverend Quigley that heaviness begin to weigh and take its toll on him because he was dedicated to the topic that he had been given. And he was confident that he would only give the antidote in the final sermon. So every sermon throughout the week dealt with sin. And God's people had to wait. But the testimonies that come from that camp of the joy of the Lord on that final sermon as the heaviness of the week lifted. This is somewhat where we are in the book of Romans. When we're in the middle of Paul's legal brief, bringing conviction and condemnation on all people, the Jew first, and also the Greek. That when there is a lack of repentance from sin, that the result is judgment. But your preacher is not as patient as Reverend Quigley. Neither does he bear that Irish accent that Reverend Quigley has, that accent that says, you may disagree with what I'm saying, but you know I'm right because I have the accent. And so today, as we continue on in this exposition of the lives of people in Romans 2, I want our hearts and minds to be pointed to the antidote, to the solution to the problem that is before us. I want you, in simple terms, to be confronted by the simple, eternal, impartial gospel. To be confronted by it. To hold it in your hands and say, what do I do with this? Where will I go from here and how will I get there? To do this, firstly, remember the situation. Remember the situation. Verse 5, but because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Simply put, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And my friends, we must remember that. We must remember that our temporal lives are lived in light of eternal truth and justice and reality. Judgment is coming. Remember, the eternal triune God meets sin in the same way every time, in wrath. And humanity will be judged. And so remember that situation. Remember that that is the context in which we live. One in which the eternal God, who knows not only the actions of people, but the thoughts and even intents of their heart, He knows and He weighs in the balance. Now, if we were to just stop there, it would be a great opportunity for me to preach works righteousness. Therefore, straighten up. Cut it out. Stop it. Do this of your own will and volition. People, save yourselves. It'd be a great opportunity to preach a sermon like that, if that weren't heretical and get me fired. Which brings me to my second point. Trust Christ. Receive and rest on Christ. He will render to each one according to his works, to those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and immortality, he will give eternal life. This is a theme throughout Scripture. We will sing at the end of the service from Psalm 62. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work. How often do we disassociate God's just judgment with his love? But here in Psalm 62, because of God's love, he will render to a man according to his work. Proverbs 24:12, if you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his works? See, this is a biblical theme. This is throughout Scripture. That God will render to each one according to his works. Hosea 12, the Lord has an indictment against Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. He will repay him according to his deeds. Jeremiah 17, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Jeremiah 32, you show steadfast love to thousands, but you repay the guilt of fathers to their children after them. O great and mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts, great in counsel and mighty indeed, whose eyes are open to all the ways of the children of man, rewarding each one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his deeds. Matthew 16, Christ says, for the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Now, on the negative side of the coin, this is impossible. If I will have rendered to me according to my works, I'm dead meat. I am toast. It's over. Now, this is why some think that Paul is speaking hypothetically here. That if someone were perfectly obey, then he would be rightfully rewarded. But I don't think Paul is speaking hypothetically here, because on the gospel side of the coin, this is Christ. He has done it. And he has done it on behalf of all of God's people. He has obeyed perfectly. He was patient in well-doing and seeking for glory and honor and immortality. He has earned eternal life for all whom the Father has given him. We can take confidence knowing that Christ will be rendered unto according to his works. And indeed, he has been for us. This also speaks to the sanctified life in which we will be led. For God does not merely, in a first cause, decree salvation, and second causes, he also brings about a holy life. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. My friends, if one is in Christ, he is a new creature. He will be a person of faith. He will be a person being sanctified, being prepared for eternity with his God. Question 72 of the larger catechism. What is justifying faith? See, we hear a lot about faith. Even the White House has an office of faith-based relations. We hear a lot about debate of the Muslim faith, the Jewish faith, the Hindu faith, the Buddhist faith, the Taoist faith, the Christian faith. And there are some who would say, well, faith is faith. You just gotta believe. The great theologian George Michael told us, you just gotta have faith, right? Believe in something. But see, the Westminster Divines must have in a prophetic moment, seen this day coming where we would have to talk about justifying faith. You can believe in all sorts of things. You can believe in the boogeyman. That doesn't mean that he is real. Or the boogeywoman. This is the day of equality, right? You can believe all sorts of things. You can believe in unicorns if you want. After all, they are the national animal of Scotland, the motherland. But just having faith in something does not make it real. We must clarify what is justifying faith. Justifying faith is a saving grace wrought in the heart of a sinner by the Spirit and Word of God, whereby he, being convinced of his sin and misery and of the disability in himself and all other creatures to recover him out of his lost condition, not only assenteth to the truth of the promise of the gospel, but receiveth and resteth upon Christ and his righteousness, therein held forth for pardon of sin and for the accepting and accounting of his person righteous in the sight of God for salvation. See, my friends, in justification, God says, yes, I see you, filthy and nasty in your sin, standing before me, and I declare you cleansed and clean and holy and righteous in my sight. When we are justified, we understand that it is all of grace from the hand of God. Nothing that we have done deserves such a great salvation. So remembering this situation that judgment is coming, trust Christ. As it says here that being convinced of the disability in himself and all other creatures, to whom will you turn to save you from your sin? To whom will you turn who's in a better position in their nature to help you? My friends, the only answer is Christ. If God will render to each one according to his works, we should desire to be in Christ, to be protected, to be cherished and treasured, but to have his righteousness put into our account as he has taken our sin upon himself. So trust Christ, receive and rest upon Christ. Thirdly, turn from your sin. Turn from your sin. Verse 6 reminds us he will render to each one according to his works. And verse 8 begins, but for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. Self-seeking, do not obey the truth, and obey unrighteousness. You don't need someone to do this for you. See, when we're talking about righteousness, when we're talking about seeking for glory and honor and immortality, you need someone to do that for you on your behalf because you cannot do it on your own. But when it comes to self-seeking, well, we're professionals. When it comes down to not obeying the truth, but obeying unrighteousness, where else do we need to turn but the mirror in our own bathrooms to see the one who can do that perfectly for us? And the world would say, the devil made me do it. My friends, that and any contemporary form of that excuse seeks to attribute to the enemy the same ability to work on our behalf as Christ does. When we blame others, we're saying, I'm really good. I'm actually righteous. But see, now their unrighteousness has been put into my account. Now the theological word for that is malarkey. It's kabbalo. It's garbage. It's trash. It says, I'm really okay. I'm really good. But the devil has forced his hand here and made me do something against this naturally righteous, holy, nice guy will. No. The gospel says, I'm a hateful, rebellious traitor against Christ, but he, that very one whom I have hated and against whom I have rebelled, he has declared me good. And he is making me good. See, when my children come in from playing in the creek across the way and they're covered head to toe in mud, they're still my child. I still love them. In fact, I might kind of find them extra cute because they're just so nasty. But as a loving father, I don't say, well, just get into your pajamas and go to bed. Say, no, off to the bath. I love you. You're my child. I declare you clean. Let's go make you clean. The Lord declares us holy. And then he makes us holy. He grants us faith and he grants us repentance. What is repentance unto life? The larger catechism asks, it's a saving grace wrought in the heart of a sinner by the Spirit and Word of God. Well, that sounds a lot like faith. They must be connected somehow. Whereby out of the sight and sense not only of the danger, but also of the filthiness and odiousness of his sins, and upon the apprehension of God's mercy in Christ to such as are penitent, he so grieves for and hates his sins as that he turns from them all to God, purposing and endeavoring constantly to walk with him in all the ways of new obedience. It's a saving grace for the Lord to so work in your heart that you turn away from your sin. Not just for fire insurance. Not just so you won't get another ticket. Not just so that your boss or your spouse might find out what you've been doing and it creates a massive problem. Not just out of the danger, but out of the filthiness and stench. We realize just how nasty even those little justifiable sins are. And I believe we know how to justify our sin. I don't think I really need to convince you of your ability to do that. So remembering that judgment is coming, trust Christ, receive and rest upon Christ, turn from your sin. And fourthly, know that Christ is your only hope. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first, and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality. If any crawls in any other way, they are a liar and a thief. My friends, there are many who would love to crawl in the sheepfold and offer you humanistic, works-centered ways to soothe your conscience and to have some sense that you have accomplished your salvation. But my friends, Christ is your only hope. Remember, the Father meets sin in the same way every time with wrath, but he also greets the Son and all whom he has redeemed the same way, in love, in mercy, in peace, in grace. Being found in Christ on that last great day is your only hope of eternal life. For he has done it. He has won it. He has given it to you. How often we want justice when we know that someone else will get in trouble too. My grandfather one day was drafting behind a line of about 7 or 8 cars through Dayton, Ohio. They were going quite a bit over the speed limit, but he was the last car. So guess who got the ticket that day? And I remember him saying, I tried to explain to the officer, I was one of a whole lot of people. Justice needs to be served here. When we're the last car and we get caught, how quickly our hearts turn. But the others were doing it too. My friends, when God shows no partiality, it not only means that that guy over there will receive the just deserts for his sin, it also means that my righteousness that I think is going to do so much for me is going to do nothing for me. God is impartial. He sees all the same. He sees exactly who has done what, how, and why they have done it. But he also sees who is in Christ. Who by Christ has already received the wrath and judgment of God for their sin. And so who will be given eternal life? Who has hope in him? In Titus 3 we read, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." My friends, be confronted by the simple. This is not difficult to understand. By the eternal, it is true in all times and all places for all people. Impartial. It's all according to Christ. Be confronted by the simple, eternal, impartial gospel. Remembering that judgment is coming, trusting Christ, turning from your sin, knowing Christ is your only hope. Stand with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the simple word, the true and living word that cuts us through. as we understand that we deserve judgment of ourselves. But of Christ, we have been given eternal life. We've been given forgiveness of sins. We've been given hope, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Lord, may your Spirit confront our hearts with this truth. Lord, if there is any here who has not trusted Christ, Lord, I pray you would give them a new heart. You would help them see great sin and the greatness of their Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.